Hello and welcome to Irish Lost, the only podcast emanating from Ireland about the TV show Lost. And you're all very, very welcome. I've been away for a few weeks and fallen behind in the episodes, but myself and Alfie are here today to talk about the episode Catch 22. Catch 22. Cool name, but was the episode any good? Well, we're going to get into it. Thanks to all the people who've been emailing me and asking me what's happened and where I've gone and everything else like that. And just as a very quick explanation for my regular listeners, because I do have regular listeners, what happened was some personal things happened in my life. And as you know, at Easter, I was in the US for a while and I got behind at that point, and then things just sort of got on top of me and podcasting was the last thing that I needed to do. As my regular listeners know, I'm a teacher, so now I'm on my summer holiday or summer vacation for my American listeners, and I'll be off from now until September. So I've got much more time to get to do some podcasting. So the show is finished. I've seen all the episodes, and now I'm just trying to go back over it in my head and finish them up. People have asked me, you know, please finish off the shows because we like your style or whatever, or we like sort of mental torture on the way to work or something, and you want to listen to that. But if you like listening to the show, please tell your friends. If you get a chance, rate us on iTunes, please. And maybe if you could dig us as well on dig.com. We'd be really, really appreciative about that one. But so far, so good. We're getting some positive feedback. Thanks to Nick Ryder as well. Nick, who's been emailing me over the last couple of weeks and really getting into my show, apparently, and all the other brilliant podcasts out there. So let's talk about Catch 22. If you hear the odd shout in the background, that'll be Alfie. He's not a Lost fan. He doesn't watch TV. He's not quite two yet. And therefore, is exceptionally busy and will be keeping me busy. And for those people who are asking as well, no, I haven't completed the house yet, but I will soon. And hopefully next month, we'll be podcasting and living in our new house. So that'll be cool as well. So thanks for all the well wishes there and the good wishes there. So a Desmond episode. You know, everyone knows that I like Desmond. Very keen on Desi, and great new character to be added to the show. And yet again, here on Irish Lost, we have an Irish character, Joanna Boole, who turned up as, I can't remember it, Ruth. Well, it's got to be a biblical name, doesn't it? You know, Ruth. Is Joanna Boole. She's been in some Irish movies and bits and pieces. She also features quite prominently in a long-running soap called Fair City here on Irish TV, where she's sort of a man-eater, the person who turns a bit of a femme fatale. But she's also got that slight little bunny boiler thing to her, where she's, I suppose, a basic instinct type character. So you don't want to have anything to do with her, because she'll come back to haunt you and make your life a misery. Yes, and Alfie's not that keen on her either. So anyway, Catch 22. Desi, we find out why Desi calls everyone brother. And I've heard this on lots of podcasts, and I'd like to just take this opportunity to say that generally the people of a religious persuasion, or particularly monks in particular, don't actually call each other brother. They just call each other brother, but they don't address other people as brother. And the only people who in this particular area, like in Ireland or Scotland, that would call each other brother or comrade would be socialists. And that would have been going back to around about the 70s when the big labour movement was going on, or the latest labour movement was going on, or even in the 80s. So that could... Yeah, that could be quite humorous. We get some sort of flashback with Desmond selling the socialist worker in Edinburgh or Glasgow or something like that. So you never know. You never know. Never sure what Lost what might turn up. But Desi decides to run away. He, as far as we get from his backstory, he decides he's not going to marry Ruth. He's going to run away and become a brother or a monk. Because that happens every day, doesn't it? You know, I've had countless friends who, when faced with the prospect of marriage, disappeared into the religious seminary and became monks. You know, it happens all the time. We've actually got a friary quite close by here, not that far away. And I think they're having a problem at the moment, as all religious orders are, actually recruiting people. So what I think they need to do is get themselves down to the wedding planner and try and pick off those guys who aren't sure that they want to get married. You know, just like Desmond. Or travel around. There's a place in Dublin called Temple Bar where a lot of stag parties and hen nights are going on. So if the Religious Brothers were on a sort of a recruitment drive, it'd be a good idea to maybe go there. I know that Barcelona is another place that a lot of Irish people go to for their stag nights, to get out there and sort of patrol the streets. And when they find people, you know, lying in the gutter, as Desi was, it's a good idea to pounce at that stage, give them the pamphlet, you know, and get them involved. Or even better, if they could sort of have a little van and drive around at night and find these prospective, what would you call them, grooms on their hen nights, load them into the back of the van, get them down to the monastery. It's going to be a day or two before they sort of get over that sort of alcohol-induced haze. And by that time, you whop a vow of silence on them and keep them there, and bingo, you've got yourself a new brother. So, what do you reckon that for a theory? Irish Lost, bringing you the theories that you don't get anywhere else about Lost. But anyway, seriously, getting back to the show. We're never quite serious on the show. Getting back to the show, Desi decides he's going to join the Religious Brotherhood. He does that. And sort of just after completing his test of faith and not talking for whatever length of time it was, a week, fortnight, who knows. He's in the Religious Faith. And the very next night, or very soon afterwards, he decides he's going to crack open the bottles of wine and start drinking. So, you know, he doesn't really last long, does he? And then he leaves the Religious Brotherhood. And what about Brother... what was that guy's name? Brother Derek? No, not Brother Derek. Brother Campbell. Oh, Derek was the guy who smacked him one in the face. Derek's Root's brother, isn't he? Who whacked Desi. And I thought, you know, even Desi was... he's dressed like a brother and he's wearing the habit and everything else. But, you know, after a few seconds, he would have stuck one on Derek, wouldn't he? You know, straight away, Desi would have run after him, grabbed him, and really give him a good old seeing to. But, I don't know. There you go. That's Lost for you. So, losing my point, going off on the tangent as usual. So, where were we? Oh, yes. Desi decides he's going to drink the wine. And Brother Campbell decides he's going to kick him out. And Brother Campbell gives him a little job to do before he goes, carry out these crates. And I suppose everyone noticed it's the horrible photo with Miss Hawking in there. So we had two Irish people in the show again, because Miss Hawking is Fionnuala, what's her name? She was, I know it's only a picture, but come on, we're clutching at straws here. You know, it's like the Oscars. Whenever an Irish person gets into the Oscars on the BBC, we've got, and the UK doing quite well in the Oscars again, that well-known Irishman, Richard Harris, nominated for the Oscar yet again. You know, he's British, apparently. And Daniel Day-Lewis, another eminent British actor. Along with that Gleeson chappy, who comes from somewhere west of Wales, somewhere there. Anyway, getting back to the point. You have a point? You really have a point? Come on. Even Alfie's given up listening and gone to chew on some of his blocks in the corner. I'm sorry. I do have a point. Desi, that whole, you know, who does he meet? Penny? Oh, marvellous. Anyway, the flashback, not very good, I thought, but the episode overall, pretty good. Flashback, a little bit dodgy. Not so good, you know. But anyway, it's supposedly told us, it did show us how they met, so there you go. But what about the island stuff? That was excellent. What about Charlie? You know, everybody wants Charlie to die. Everybody's been talking about killing off Charlie. So what did they do? They decide they're going to kill Charlie every week. I think it's excellent. They're going to kill Charlie every single week, and in every week it's going to be more and more gruesome. So there you go. They go on a little camping trip, and Charlie gets killed with the arrow in the neck. And it's great. That must be something to do with them moving an hour. They're an hour later now in the US, so they're allowed to do more of this gore, you know, Charlie getting killed. And that is class. And so we see the flashbacks, and they're all sort of jumbled up, or the flashes, sorry, not the flashbacks, the flashes that Desi has, they're all sort of jumbled up, so we're not sure exactly what's happening. But it does involve Charlie dying, it does involve a parachutist, and then eventually, although we don't see it, it involves Claire and, what's his name, Turniped, getting onto a helicopter and leaving the island. So no one really knows whether that's going to be true or not, but Desi seems to believe it. And eventually gets Charlie to go along. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to this idea of predestination, or fate, or whether or not we can do something about it. So Desi, in the end, doesn't allow Charlie today. And the question is, does he actually change? First of all, can he see the future? I still believe that he didn't travel through time. He just had, you know, one of these realistic dreams. But I don't believe he traveled through time at the implosion. I don't believe that. And they didn't actually say that. They said it appears as if he traveled through time. And he did travel through time in his mind, but not necessarily physically. Because there's a whole load of stuff. There's a whole load of science fiction crap about time travel that is going to be thrown up by that. And I can't see them really going down that road. But anyway, getting back to Desi. If he's actually seeing what's happening, if it is the truth, and Penny arrived on the island, then by saving Charlie, then maybe he changed what was going to happen. And we got the girl, Naomi, who arrived instead. So it's all a bit freaky and it's all a bit strange. But hopefully he's not actually travelling through time, because that just gets, you know, it gets on my nerves, that sort of stuff. And we want to just get on with the adventure and the story. So they go on the little camping trip, and one of the things that struck me was Sun, who's just discovered she's pregnant and living on an island where people will put a bag over your head and pull you into the undergrowth, says to Jin, "Yeah, go on, you go camping." Obviously, says it in Korean. "Yeah, you go camping, Jin. It's no problem. You guys need to get away. We're stranded on a desert island. There's smoke monsters and others who want to kill us, and people who want to do experiments on us, and people who can creep up on us without us hearing them. But no, it's okay. Go camping. It'll be cool." You know, a little bit far-fetched. It's up to you. I think so. So, Desmond is faced with this dilemma. Does he let Charlie die in order to save all the rest of them? And people have been talking about this. There's a parallel here to the Abraham and Isaac and God telling him to bring his only son up to the mountain and sacrifice and blah, 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 and all that guff. But I can't really see the parallel, apart from the fact that God asked Abraham, apparently, you know, to sacrifice Isaac, who was his only son. But let's just take a moment just to unpick this thing, right? One, God spoke to Abraham, and it must have been in a dream or something. So, okay, you could say, what's his name? Desmond had some these flashes, but Desmond is seeing the future. He's not hearing the Almighty speaking to him. And Isaac was Abraham's only son, and apparently he'd waited for a long time to have a son, so he was probably quite chuffed when he did have one. And so Charlie and Desmond, Charlie's a guy he met after coming out of a hatch, after being locked in there for 3 years, pressing the button every 108 minutes. So I think, you know, if it was a toss-up, if it was me, and I was locked up in that place, and I was away from Anne, and I had this, obviously my sanity would be in question. First of all, having to wake up every 108 minutes to press that button. Then I escape. I disappear on a boat for a little while. I come back. And all of a sudden I can see the future. So most people would say I'm a raving lunatic. But if I then got these flashes before my eyes, and they said that I had to kill this guy who I'd only just met, or allow, not even kill him, but allow him to die. He was going to die anyway. So all I had to do was allow him to die. And then I would get off the island, and I would see my wife. I know Desmond isn't married, but I'd see Anne again. I am married. I'd see Anne and Alfie again. I would have let Charlie die in the tent. He would have been toast by now, you know, because I would have wanted to get out of there. I know that Desmond, only now Desmond realizes that he can get off the island. So I'm afraid if it was me, put myself in Desmond's shoes, I would be walking right through there. They could be talking about the Flash and Superman and all the other rubbish guff they were talking about. And whack, Charlie'd be dead. We'd be off the island and I'd be home. Sorry. It just doesn't ring true. Okay, Desmond is a better person than I am. But Desmond has just the one true love story on the island. Like all the rest of them, you know, get all that chipper guff. And it is guff. And in case for American, guff means crap, but it's just a nice way of saying it. Well, sort of like crap, guff. It's rubbish. It's stuff that people talk that isn't actually, you know, of any value. So all the chipper guff that's going on the island compared to Desmond and Penny. Desmond and Penny seem to be the real thing. So if that's the case, then I would allow Desmond to let Charlie take the arrow and let them get off the island. But then we're into this whole time paradox thing and all the rest of it. You know, he's now that because he's saved Charlie, does that cause something else? But then you got to look, you got to unpick that as well and say to yourself, okay, Penny Widmore, as far as we know about Penny, she's a bit of a social girl, a bit of an it girl around London or Scotland or wherever they were living. And she, her father's very rich. She is obviously used to, because Desmond says to her in The Flashes Before Your Eyes that he can't give her what she's used to. So she's probably used to, you know, a nice lifestyle. She's well educated. She goes to all the best parties. She's, you know, she has means of her own. So really, she's not going to be flying helicopters and jumping out into the jungle. No, I don't think so. If you've got that sort of money then at your disposal, then you're going to hire somebody who looks a bit like Naomi, really. Someone who is qualified to fly a helicopter, if it was a helicopter, and jump into the jungle for you. So, you know, Penny is not going to come to the island to look for you. The same way as Penny's not going to sit in the Arctic or the Antarctic or wherever, in the Antarctic, wherever those guys were, in that little tent, looking for a little ice station, Penny's just not going to do that. She loves Desmond and she has lots of money. So therefore, she's not going to put herself out. She's going to hire other people to do it for her, to do her searching for her. So she's going to hire Naomi and whatever the other guy is who later on. So I've already seen the episode, you see. And obviously, if you're listening to this podcast now, you've seen the episode. So, you know, Kuczynski or whatever the guy's name was that Jack contacts on the phone. She hires those people, professionals, to go and do the job for her. Now, obviously, she wouldn't know those people. Why would she? Why would Penny need to dirty your hands? If you get people to work for you who are working in far-flung areas, you may never meet them. You know, they're doing stuff for you. You may only speak to them on the telephone, email them, etc. So Penny was never going to turn up on the island. That just doesn't make even the slightest, tiniest bit of sense. So for all the people who have been, you know, Desmond has changed the future, Penny was going to show up. That's just so unreal. Desmond may well have dreamt in his dream or his flash that Penny was going to turn up, but the chances of that are minuscule. You can't imagine, you know, Penny in a Manolo Blahniks jumping out of a helicopter and landing on the island, hair all sort of, you know, everywhere, hat, helmet, hair. Penny, come on. She's going to hire people. She's going to get them to do it for her. Desmond should let Charlie have the arrow, because Charlie must die in the end anyway. But of course, it's another way of prolonging the suspense. And I have to say, it seemed to work very, very well. And seeing Desmond, he's a nice guy, Desmond, isn't he? I like Desi. He's one of my favourites now that Mr. Echo is gone. He anguishes over the whole thing, and he can't let Charlie die, can he? He just can't do it. Even with all the stuff, even getting Penny back, and that makes him so much better person than I am, or than most of us would be. Even with all that, he can't let Charlie die. And he tells him to duck. You know, duck, and he rugby tackles him and saves him in the end. So there you have it. He saves our man Charlie, and they head off into the jungle to find the parachutist. And when they cut the parachutist down, one thing I did notice though, that in Desmond's flashes, Charlie was actually there taking the parachutist down. There's one particular flash where Charlie is actually helping them pull down the parachute. Or reaching up, you know, sort of standing there with his hands outstretched, pulling down the parachute, and gets her down. So they find Naomi. We find her name out later. I think it's in the credits anyway. And they find Naomi, and they take off the helmet. It's somebody else, obviously, because we all thought it was going to be Penny, didn't we? Yeah. It's nice that it wasn't Penny. You know, because the episode led you, before thinking about it, the episode leads you to believe that it's going to be Penny. But you open the helmet, and there you have Naomi. And all she says is, Desmond. So obviously she's been sent on a quest to find Desmond. Which makes sense when we get into next week's episode. Which makes sense because there are other reasons why she wouldn't be there looking for Hugo and Jane and or Charlie. Especially now that Charlie has had his greatest hits album. So that's it. That's it for this week. I thought it was overall a good episode. Flashback a bit dodgy, but the general on-island stuff, progressing the story, things are beginning to pick up, aren't they? You know, I know with the benefit of hindsight, you can see how things are coming, but this Lost is beginning to get back to what we really, really want, which is, you know, pushing the mythology forward. You know, even when they went out in the helicopter, we saw them. Well, we didn't see the helicopter. We heard something like a helicopter and saw the flashing light. You know, your heart began to race, and you're thinking, oh, you know, rescue. Somebody else is coming. Somebody's been introduced into the show. Somebody new. Something dangerous. You know, what is going on? All right, then. This has been Irish Lost. Apologies for the little break in service, but hopefully all these podcasts will be uploaded within a couple of weeks and you can listen to Irish Lost at your heart's content. So if you want to contact me, the email address is echoesjesusstick@yahoo.co.uk. That's echoesjesusstick@yahoo.co.uk. And I'll think about changing that now that unfortunately Mr. Echo is gone. So, namaste, peace out, and I'll speak to you again pretty soon. Thanks very much. Oh, and Alfie says bye as well. Well, he doesn't say anything because he's given up, but he would say it if he were here. He'd say bye.